following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN, your home for K-State Athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
Tomorrow from Bramlage Coliseum is K-State's biggest non-conference home game of the season when they welcome in the Marquette Golden Eagles. And we're going to go a little heavy on that game today with only a 30-minute show, really like a 22-minute show tomorrow, because there will actually be a doubleheader of K-State basketball coming your way on Wednesday. Welcome into The Game. I'm Mitch Fortner alongside Troy Coverdale, David G also in today, and Big Steve is running the show today.
The gang is back together.
But will the gang of K-State men's basketball be fully back together going into Marquette this game tomorrow? Now, the big reference there is, of course, Nigel Pack, who did not play against Wichita State. But the Cats still managed to get it done. They found a way to win that game despite not having the strongest effort they've had this year offensively, as they shot around 33% in the game. But Wichita State also had a rough day themselves of shooting the basketball. At one point, they missed 12 straight threes. But we are going to talk Nigel Pack in this first segment of also coming up. As a matter of fact, in the next segment, we'll go to Bruce Weber's press conference from earlier today, as I like to call it, the best of Bruce. Mitch Palm. We are going to do Mitch Palm today. We're looking more into the Marquette matchup. And, you know, there is one battle that I actually think might be the turning point on how that game can go. That's coming up in the second hour. Also, my top 10 list, number one song of the day, Ask Us Anything, is all coming up. But with the game back together, I thought it was smart to start with talking about Nigel Pack, because he is the top guy of K-State men's basketball. He's the Mitch Fortner of K-State men's basketball, if you're comparing it to K-Man. Nigel out with a concussion, didn't play on Sunday, and he is the guy, averaging 15.8 points a game. K-State scoring 65 points. You think if you have Nigel Pack, you're not going to score just 65 points against Wichita State. You're not going to struggle as much from three-point range as K-State did against the Shockers.
You hopefully won't get off to the slow start that you got off to against the Shockers.
That's true. I mean, K-State was down double digits in, like, with the first 5 minutes of the game.
That was nuts.
Actually, I got late to the game because I was doing the Manhattan football banquet, and I got to my car, and it's already 4 minutes in, you know, and I hear the score. I'm like, what in the world is going on? I had no idea at the point Nigel was out, because we didn't find out as media. We got a late email that was pretty close to tip-off that we find out that Nigel Pack's not going to play, and I hadn't even seen that yet. So, and then I find out Nigel is not going to play. I'm like, oh, crap. I don't know if K-State can make this comeback. As a matter of fact, I didn't say I don't think. I said there's no way that K-State makes this comeback. But you know what? I wasn't smart to think, you know, offensively they might have a setback. Defensively, they shouldn't. Because defensively, this is already a strong team. One person should not hurt you in that department. But when it comes to K-State's offense, when you're losing Nigel Pack, yeah, you're taking a pretty big hit.
One of the things that stood out about the fact that they were able to find that way to come back sure changed a lot of moods on Twitter real quick.
It was just like
doom, despair, agony. The old hee-haw routine. Doom, despair, and agony on me was pretty much how the K-State Twitter looked in the early going.
It was 11-2, like the start of the game.
Yeah, it felt like it.
I go, wait a minute, whoa. Easy. And it's just funny. I don't know what really though. They just had to remind themselves, we're good at defense is our thing. Maybe not scoring the ball isn't our thing, but we can hang our hats on playing at least some tough defense. And when they squeezed the Shockers, oh boy, did they squeeze them.
The fact that Etienne had such a off shooting day speaks volumes to what K-State's defense did that afternoon.
Yes.
So with Nigel Pack out with a concussion, Bruce Weber was asked about Nigel earlier today, and I guess, somewhat of an update?
He's going through the protocols, and, everything, like I said the other night, it's going to be a close call. Everything's got to go right, and the doc's got to feel like he's, it's about him and his future and not taking any chances. So we'll just see what happens. But he has made strides. He's feeling better, and we'll see what happens next couple of days. We got the 8 o'clock game, so you got almost 2 days to kind of get there.
Nigel was expected to play Sunday. He made the trip down to Wichita with the team, and then he started to experience some headaches. Then goes into the protocol situation. He's getting tested out. Didn't pass. So he had to watch the game from the hotel room. He was tweeted a couple of times, I guess, during the game. Not a whole lot. But he was watching, and he was cheering on the Cats. So I thought, with the concussion protocol and going through the tests, David G., are you looking a little bit concussed to me?
Yeah.
Are you
yeah,
are you all right?
I am concussed. Yeah.
I think we need to put you through a concussion test.
Oh yeah.
So kind of paint a picture on exactly what a student athlete might have to go through.
So now we've added a doctor.
Absolutely.
To his title.
Dr. Mitch has been around for quite some time. Hasn't shown up since we've had a little change to the regime around these places. So here's what we're going to do. Your first question here, David G.
Preface this, former offensive lineman. Okay, just so we're clear here, okay? Go ahead.
What is your name?
David G.
Where are you?
K-Man Studios. almost failed.
All right.
Batman.
What is the time and date?
It's 4:10. Today's date, 12/7/21.
What just happened? I was looking forward to this answer.
That just happened. So,
why might you be concussed?
Because I got hit in practice. I really got smoked in practice.
All right. So part of the test, I need to ask you these questions again.
Okay.
All right. What is your name?
David.
Where are you?
K-Man Studios.
Time and date.
It's like 4:15. Man, what are you asking? It's the 7th.
And what just happened?
I got hit, man.
All right. I need you to also remember these four words.
Oh, boy.
Remember these four words. I need you to repeat them to me after I'm done. Mechanic, dog, blanket, juice.
Mechanic, dog, blanket, juice.
All right. What's your name?
Television man, person, woman.
What's your name?
David.
Where are you?
K-Man Studios. Talking to Mitch.
Well, what's the time and date?
7/12/21, and it's 4:15.
And what just happened?
I answered a bunch of questions. I got hit.
All right, and I need you to repeat these four words I'm about to say to you. Mechanic, dog, blanket, juice.
Mechanic, dog, blanket, juice.
All right, remember those four words because we're going to come back to those.
Okay.
I'm going to say them one more time. Mechanic, dog, blanket, juice.
Got it.
All right.
Four favorite things right there.
So Nigel Pack, where he's at right now, is he's going through what David G. has just gone through, and he might be doing it daily to figure out if he's good enough to play.
There's a joke here about Trump and cognitive testing. I mean, honestly, are you saying that Trump may have taken a concussion test mistook that as a cognitive protocol test?
I don't even know if I know what you're talking about.
You've never heard the TV camera.
Person, woman, camera, TV.
No, I have not.
Yeah, we're just joking about that. I am, all kidding aside, to know that he did not pass that test, or so similar, before the game, that lets you know quite a bit. Really, really hope Nigel takes care of himself, doesn't push it, doesn't get any help. I hope that he takes it serious and knows that you sit until you're ready to roll, man.
How long was it last year that he was out?
I don't recall. I don't remember exactly how long.
But he was in the protocol for a while because of a concussion. suffered at some point during practices. And so that immediately raises the red flag for the trainers in wanting to make sure and keep an eye on just what is happening. The fact that he began to get that headache while on the bus speaks to, you know, the fact that concussions can be sneaky.
Absolutely.
And, you know, something like motion, if you've been in that situation, something like motion can be a trigger. Absolutely can be a trigger. And, yeah, it sucks that it happened literally day of a game, but better off that it happened when it did than to have him on the floor and have something else add on to it.
I once witnessed in high school like how bad a concussion can get, you know, just from one hit. When I was a junior, this kid went to tackle somebody else and just his head, basically forehead, just collided with the dude's chest. So it wasn't exactly the best form. And he goes tumbling, he's hurting. All of a sudden he just drifts over to the sideline, kind of like way off where the football field was. And he starts crying, he starts hollering, he's in so much pain, he starts puking. It was really bad. They rushed him to the hospital and they had to like take him somewhere else because he had to have surgery on his skull and his brain because mm-hmm. there was swelling going on. It was extremely bad just from one hit. It's amazing just the degree on, you know, Nigel gets hit in the head, he's dealing with a headache, and then the dude that gets hit in the head from football practice and he's got to have surgery right away. It's amazing the degree on how concussions, how bad they can be.
And it also speaks to how different bodies can be.
Yep. And I'm glad they got away from the mild concussion it's a concussion, no matter what you're at.
I just had his bell rung.
That was the back in the day, that was the whole thing. You know, that was, you just got your bell rung. Get it out of there. Get out there.
Back in the day, they also used to give you salt tablets instead of telling you to drink.
Yeah, and you're like, wait a minute, what is this about? I got mildly, I mean, like I said, I hate that word, but in high school, I got bell rung bad. And when they went through the protocol questions, I knew I was supposed to know. That's what the scariest part was, is I just couldn't get that. I couldn't access the answers, but I knew I was supposed to know. And then you don't, and you're like, I'm confused. I'm really confused. I know I'm not supposed to be, and I know that I know I'm here for a reason. And then finally it comes back, and you're like, oh my God, that was intense, man.
I wanted to ask you guys this next question because I think I'll get different responses to it, really. So without Nigel Pack, who steps up and takes that starting role? Was Marquise Noel, who comes through with 16 points, also had 8 boards. That was a huge day for him, but he also kind of made you forget that he went 4-for-15 from the field, which is not solid, but he hit that shot with 1:35 to go. That was a deep three he'd been trying to hit all game. But Selton Miguel, he scores 12 points. Luke Kasupke even comes off the bench and has his best game ever at 8 points. It's not the most impressive thing, but it's impressive for what he has done so far at K-State. But against a team like Marquette, does it make you comfortable to not potentially have Nigel? Marquise Noel would be then the guy. I am comfortable with it because he is a veteran. He can score the basketball. He's not afraid to lead a team, but we also have seen a little bit of a reckless guy once in a while, and that does a little worry me a little bit.
That's a great point because you're playing a Marquette team that has two words that can be associated with it, Shaka Smart. They're going to press. Wichita State did not, surprisingly, and Coach even mentioned that in his comments today, that the Shockers didn't utilize as much of the press as he thought that they would. Well, Marquette's going to utilize the press. And so right out of the box, trying to play hero ball is not going to be the way to go. And that is definitely something where the Cats have to be on their game tomorrow night. And Marquise needs to be aware of that tomorrow night.
David G, before you answer, what is your name?
David.
Where are you?
K-Man Studios.
What's the time and date?
It's December 7th, Big Steve's anniversary. December 7th, 2021.
What just happened?
I got hit, man, practice. The fort got me.
What were those four words I asked you to memorize?
Mechanic, dog, blanket, juice.
Very good. He's not concussed, guys.
I'm playing.
Well done.
He's going to play
the rock, Coach. Oh, wait a minute. I'm a third stringer. Okay. Bye. Sorry.
I know you're not the biggest Marquise Noel fan.
No, okay. So And I want to, like, somebody gave me a hard time about that. I like him. I like him a lot because he plays for the Cats right off the bat. But, like, when he's gunning those giant threes and he misses them, he bricks them, I mean, we're going to have a problem. But when he makes them in a crazy situation, it's like, yay! But when he bricks, there's going to be a game he's going to brick him.
No.
Yes! We needed that. This guy, I love that he brings is he goes to the cup. And he goes to the cup at full speed. What I would like to see is someone go, hey, Marquise, you know what would be cool? Is you go like you're going to lay it up and throw it back. And have, like, let's roll to the basket with him a little more. Because those are open opportunities because people are like, this guy's going to try to score. You know, he's going all in. Let him, like, hey, Marquise, drop it back, man. Casey's back there. Somebody can be back there to dunk it. It's too easy.
With him going to the lane, I do like his intensity on how he can take it to the hoop and sometimes score. It's a circus shot once in a while. But
right.
You know what? He does impress us. My concern, though, about that and how often he does do it, he doesn't draw an extra defender.
No, he doesn't.
And he needs to be ready to kick it out a little bit sooner. Because when he does decide to make that decision and try to kick it, he is borderline going to travel with the basketball and get himself in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm saying there are some pros and cons to Marquise Noel being the starter. I've loved him off the bench, but he's your second leading scorer right now.
Right.
And when it comes to those points, it's hard to ask for maybe a better backup than Marquise Noel behind Nigel Pack.
Absolutely. You said, there's pros and cons, and we could go all day about it, but he is a big-time part of this team, and I can't wait to see what he brings when they do press. Because if he gets loose, oh, my God, that's going to create some real problems for Marquette.
Up next, we're going to get the best of Bruce from his press conference earlier today on The Game. If you miss any of the show, look us up. Just search for The Game KMAN on SoundCloud. You can look us up on Spotify, your Apple Podcast app. The numbers of this podcast are through the roof, guys. Big numbers we're doing right now here on The Game. Of course, in the last segment, we talked Nigel Pack and concussion. If you hadn't heard breaking news, David G did pass concussion protocol. He is good to go for the next game.
The only thing, kind of dealing with a hamstring tweak, we are D2D on that one.
Did you do a little something playing a little hopscotch with your daughter?
Absolutely. No, just picking her up. Daddy's going to lay down. Bye.
See, this is why it's so tough for big guy touchdowns to take place. Absolutely. Trying to pick up the football on a fumble recovery is, yeah.
Like, come on. It's got to land perfect. Boom. I'll take care of the rest.
Coming up in the next segment, we got a top 10 list I've been waiting all day to share with everybody. It's going to be a lot of fun. But right now, it's time to get to the best of Bruce. He had his press conference as we get set for the Marquette game tomorrow night at Bramlage Coliseum. Here was the best of Bruce from earlier today.
Bruce, how's Nigel Pack coming along?
He's going through the protocols, and everything. Like I said the other night, it's going to be a close call. Everything's got to go right, and the doc's got to feel like he's, and it's about him and his future, and not taking any chances. So we'll just see what happens. But he has made strides. He's feeling better, and we'll see what happens next couple of days. We got the 8 o'clock game, so you got almost 2 days to kind of get there.
Last game, two guys who kind of on the bench when you guys had separation, Wichita State, were Ish and Davion. What are two things those guys can do to be more involved moving forward?
Well, I've told the guys all along, they're going to get their minutes, and then who plays well in the game is going to get those last 7-8 minutes. And, that's just, it's kind of part of it. And we have depth, we have versatility. That first 32 minutes, you're rotating guys, but when it gets a gut check, you're going to go with the guys that are playing well that you trust. And the other guys were stepping up and playing at a little higher level. Obviously, Davion just, he had a setback. His conditioning is still, behind where it should be, and then when you're conditioning, when you're a big guy and you're trying to keep up with the game, you don't maybe have the legs to go and make that layup that he had or whatever. So I talked to him after the game. Actually, I talked to both of those guys late at night on Sunday night, and Davion, I just told him, this is a work in progress. We have to get yourself back. We do need you. I'm happy Casey's playing well, but you know, you might be the difference maker on Wednesday night. So he is important. Obviously his, you know, like a lot of young guys, you know, shooting is the mindset. He's, you know, that's what he's known for. And he hasn't shot the ball well yet. To this point, he had that one game where he kind of got going. You know, I just talked to him about, I thought he played better defense, you know, get some rebounds, get an easy one, get a putback, get a transition layup, whatever it might be. Focus on all the other stuff that you can control. But he also has to work to help himself get open shots. If you haven't made shots, you know, you got to work to get open ones. And I told him this the other night, he loves the game. He studies the game. He knows the game. Now he's got to use that knowledge to help himself find ways to get open, whether it's coming off a screen, setting a screen, slipping a screen, whatever it might be, to help himself. And if he helps himself and gets open shots, you know, that's going to help us also as a team.
Can you just go through a few ways that Casey has been a pleasant surprise? What's he doing that you maybe didn't expect?
Well, I kind of joked about him catching. I think that's the big thing, but he is in pretty good shape. He's running hard. He's playing hard. He led us on our play hard chart with 11, which is the high for the season for anybody. So not only was he good, you know, catching, scoring, getting to the hoop, diving, but he was also very, very active in the game and you know, deflections and getting on the floor and taking a charge. And, you know, he was just real active. I think that's the biggest thing. And we've kind of harped on him about, you know, he's got a motor. Use your motor. Use your brains. You know, maybe doesn't have quite the jumping, even though he got a couple lob dunks, which really made me feel good for him and for us, for his future. You do have pretty good athleticism. You're running. He's in pretty good shape. He's taking care of his body. You know, there's a lot of guys that come in to the office or to the ice center and work on their bodies, but he might be spending time with Luke, spending time with AJ. You know, he has really been dedicated to that part of it, which I think it's helped us.
Hey, Coach, you know, Marquise Noel, he really, really played well against Wichita State, even, you know, in that second half. Isaac Brown said after the game that his defensive pressure may have been the difference. Just how key has he been on both ends?
He's really important. And I've said before, his dynamics, especially his defensive pressure, can change games. He's a pest. You think about a big play in the game, gets kind of steals the ball, dives for it. The guy grabs his leg. We get two free throws in the ball, you know, big momentum changer. First play to second half. I know he doesn't, get the layup. They block it, but he steals the ball. And it makes it tough for teams to get into their offense. And, his pressure has been really important. I'm really pleased with his assist turnovers, 4-1. And we talked to him. Coach Southwell had him in yesterday. I sat a little bit and talked to him just about, you know, just some of those shots. You know, I want him to have confidence, but, you know, if you make one, that doesn't mean you're on a heat check. I think sometimes our guys think one is a heat check. You got to get two or three before you get into a heat check. But I love how he's getting into pain. He made great decisions. He was a good leader. And he probably was, you know, difference in the game. You think about, I think he was he the leading rebounder in the game? He had 8. I know that.
Yep,
I know
he was.
So he was really, really productive in a lot of ways and made the big plays down the stretch.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, I was just curious. Against Wisconsin, Marquette seemed like they were doing a lot of full court press. Is that something you expect them to continue in this game?
Yeah, they've been, like I said, Chuck has kind of gone back to his VCU days. He used the press off and on, actually changed the game at Austin last year with us. It was the COVID game where I don't know how many guys we had, but 5 or 6, and we stuck Luke in there without really even practicing. And, you know, but the press, you know, it was even, and there was one stretch, like 4 or 5 minutes, where that press just, we turned it over, took us out of the game, and we could never, you know, catch up. We did a better job against them at home. Yeah, he's using the press to create some energy, getting them to play hard. I think trying to create a culture. He's got you know, quite a few young guys mixed in with those couple older guys. That mixture has, you know, been a pretty good formula right to this point. They gave up a bunch against Wisconsin, but they also, they've been scoring pretty good clip also. Actually, Wichita's pressed more. They didn't press very much. I was kind of surprised. I thought that, but maybe just the score of the game, they felt they were in good shape, but they've used the press more than they have, than they did against us. You know, Marquette is going to press us. I promise you that they press after made free throws. They press after made hoops. They just try to keep you out of rhythm. So we're taking care of the ball, and we've made improvement, but taking care of the ball and making the right plays is important.
Carlton Lingard's been back to practice and stuff. How's his progression been coming along?
Well, I think next week is going to be a big week. You know, it's because he's going to get the practice. We're going to actually have practice. We got, you know, just asked about the Sunday, Wednesday rotation. And, you know, Michael asked about that. And when you do that, you don't, you know, like yesterday, we really couldn't practice. Now, we did an individual workout with him. Today, he'll be scout squad. Obviously, Wednesday, he's got his, you know, he's got a little routine. They go, we're off Thursday. Hopefully, Friday, a little, you know, a little bit of practice. Saturday, scout squad. But then next week, exam week, when we got 3-4 days to practice, that's going to be a big step for him to get back involved and see if he's got the condition and understanding where he is, that he can go back to back days and be productive.
That was Bruce Weber from earlier today, his press conference with the media. That was at 10 o'clock this morning. A lot of look at his team, answering some questions about health. Yeah, I would love to see Carlton Lingard get back in shape and get ready to go as a backup at the five. K-State a little light at the five, it feels like, right now, with Casey Ezeagu being the guy. When we come back, my latest top 10 list, and it's a doozy. The game on KMAN, it's about time for my top 10 list of the week. So this top 10 list was influenced by having Coach Bill Snyder on the show last week. His new book is out. Bill Snyder, My Football Life and the Rest of the Story, also written by D. Scott Fritchen. And in that book, he has published the entire Bill Snyder playlist. The Snyder soundtrack, as we like to call it. So that influenced me. I am going to do my top 10 favorite songs from the Snyder soundtrack.
Ah.
Now, there is one honorable mention in this, and it's actually a song that wasn't a part of the soundtrack, but should have been because it totally fits the theme. So, Survivor, the band, they had Eye of the Tiger, which was in the Snyder soundtrack. However, when it comes to like pump-up songs and sports, amateur hour, this song from Survivor was way better for that kind of thing.
Wow.
I remember that from Karate Kid 2.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Is
yes.
it really?
Yes.
I totally made that up. I made that up 1,000%.
You're lying to me.
I put it on everything holy. I just guess
it's from Karate Kid.
It's just cheesy.
Karate
enough.
Kid soundtracks were the best.
You're the best around.
I don't remember if it was exactly Karate Kid 2, but it was from Karate Kid for sure. And
wow.
Then they threw it in into Cobra Kai, the show on Netflix.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
Wow, yeah, that's a great show. Yeah, just cheesy enough. You know, they were always talking about, like, go show them in the 80s. Go show them what you got. Don't let them put you down. And it's just like, what? We don't have, there's nothing to show.
All right, let's get to the list. Oh, let me try this again, David. I'm sorry. I still had Survivor going. I do this all the time.
You have that going in your inner.
By the way, yeah. I did find your page answer.
Oh, what is it?
Page 298.
298 in the book.
In the hardcover. Yep.
All right, let's party.
Number 10. It's a
beautiful day. You know, there were three U2 songs in the list. And I was like, man, was Coach that big of a U2 fan? Beautiful Day, you know. I'm cool with it. I'm not a big U2 fan, but I think Beautiful Day is a nice, catchy song. It's better than Where the Streets Have No Name, I think.
Oh yeah.
What? I love that song, but and this one, though, it was a post 9/11 that they played that a lot.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking. This really was kind of the split era, if you will, of U2, where they went from Joshua Tree to being more along the lines of almost an EDM sound at points.
And also, number nine. Ready for commercial.
What's that?
Way more commercial.
Just like, hey, will this fit for a Toyota or a Ford? You know, like, come on, you two. Anyway, sorry.
All right, here's number nine. You guys remember this one?
Yes. Yes.
A banger.
I probably should have put this one higher.
Yeah.
But,
seen them.
Oh, I love Night Ranger. Love Night Ranger.
Opening for David Coverdale.
The secret of my success. Oh, yeah, David Coverdale's like his uncle or something.
At a rodeo arena.
Ha!
Yeah, this is awesome.
Night Ranger.
It doesn't have a solid chorus, but the build-up is great.
It's a great.
The other aspect of this, and have either of you seen the movie, The Secret of My Success?
No.
And this is part of why there's a tie to this. Michael J. Fox's character is a Kansas State University alum.
Oh, I have seen
and
that.
Wears K-State gear. Wears T-shirt in the movie.
I remember now. I have seen that. I do.
Oh,
what you know.
My
he,
God.
He started in the mailroom. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
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 Dude.
Where in Kansas was he from?
Oh, I don't remember
Michael J.
that.
Fox?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
in the movie.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Because he was from Kansas. We need to move on, guys.
Number eight.
Anybody know who this is by?
No.
We all know this song.
Yeah, it's the greatest.
Archie Eversoll.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy, right?
I remember him. Archie Eversoll.
That's another one of those cliche sports songs.
I love that jam.
Number seven. You're unbelievable.
Does anything need to be said? I mean, this was a pretty big time Snyder song.
It was a huge Snyder song, and it was the most embarrassing one.
You thought?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, keeping in mind, too, it was released literally right at the start of his tenure.
That's right. Ugh. Is that in excess, right?
No. EMF.
EMF.
Former number one song of the day.
Oh!
It got to number one. How about that?
Not unbelievable.
Where are we at
here?
Number six.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Thunderstruck, everybody loves, you know, you've been Thunderstruck, you know, that whole part of it. The intro is the best part of the song.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is a...
Give it up to Angus, who can just... I mean, that's an insane start to a song.
That's one of those things, like, if somebody can do that, they're a good guitarist.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, okay, he's good. I also, though, Varsity Blues kind of took the song and changed it to where it's like negative to get Thunderstruck. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you play Thunderstruck, you're gonna get Thunderstruck.
Bramlage Coliseum. Saw them at Bramlage Coliseum on this tour. On this tour.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah, this was early 90s, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, Bramlage, bring that back.
No kidding.
Come on. What the heck?
Number five. I was built to be
the best. Number one. Right, said Fred. Lead
me to my I never destiny. Understood this one.
K-State wasn't too sexy for little Right, said Fred. Well, it started in 03 when they put together that championship video, and this was the song. And then it turned into, well, it's in the pregame now, and we're all going to clap to it. This is one of those songs where, like, if you listen to it outside of any sporting event, you're a weirdo.
You are
like,
a little.
That's... Nobody listened to this casually.
No, shelf that one. And if you did, you're lame, dude. Shelf that. Oh, God.
All right.
Come on.
Number four,
here we go. This has turned into a big third down song.
Yes. Yes, it has. And it is a sports song beyond any measure. I mean, just the echoing of that guitar and the scream.
Another classic, yeah, legendary intro.
And everybody, I think Appetite for Destruction is one of those albums that, like, statistically, everyone in America owned a copy of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those that everybody's got it. And what a jam, dude.
I still have it on CD.
Absolutely.
I'm still trying to understand why this got made a prom theme at my high school at one point.
Wow. The prom theme?
Welcome to the jungle, baby.
They didn't want to go with It's So Easy?
It's so easy, easy.
You know.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm,
That's funny, dude. They're like, I'm not going to prom with you anymore.
Yeah, right?
Oh, that's good.
This is number three.
Oh, gimme.
Also a Bramlage stop on this tour.
See, that's...
Van Hagar?
Mm-hmm.
So my Van Halen fanship, I love the David Lee Roth sound that Van Halen has, but I like Sammy Hagar vocals over David Lee Roth. That's probably a controversial sound or pick, but...
You're going to have some people angry at you, but I got to agree.
I love both of them, though.
They're great. Both of them are great. And you look back at Van Hagar's run, yikes, well, they had some hits.
Not sorry, but Sammy has better pipes.
Well, I would agree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, this jam is... Oh, boy, let's get going! Come on, cats!
When I was in high school, when we were getting off the bus, Rocky Downing would always fire up a little Right Now.
Oh.
It was always on cue. Oh, we're already in number two.
Number two.
I mean, come on.
One mission.
Remember when K-State had this song for like a ticket commercial?
Yeah.
I loved it. I got pumped up to buy some tickets. Like, that's the best sales job K-State has ever done. When trying to sell some tickets.
Give me a
family. We need to get
back
to that. You know, throw a little some highlights over this once in a while. Maybe this should be the new Brooks and Dunn, Proud of This House. Like one vision of creating this grand scheme of new improvements and having success. Like, maybe that should be the next song.
You listening, Climbing? You listening? This is gold.
Oh, but guys,
number one.
There's only one number one in my heart, and it was an easy pick. I would get in the stadium early just so I could hear this song. I was like, guys, one of you can have the rest of my Coors Light because I'm heading in.
I gotta go. There's my cue.
No, I'll chug it. I'll chug it.
Ah, yeah. Man, just... I know these are solid songs, but I'm glad we're into the, you know... Updations.
Moved on?
Yeah.
Well, like... Obviously, if you know me, I'm more to listen to the Signer soundtrack than the Climbing soundtrack.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I mean, the guy that is in charge of, like, putting together the music for Third Down, like, he's actually the one been picking out the songs for the Climbing soundtrack. The team did it last year, but this guy, he's been doing it more this year. Actually, he let me throw in some Third Down music. So
your suggestions for the Baylor game were fantastic. I hope you hold on to them.
I heard two of them.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if any others played.
I heard two as well. I heard Slayer.
Slayer did play.
Uh-huh. And then,
it's the Seth Rollins song.
Seth Rollins.
Burn it down.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome.
So, I just happened to pull up setlist.fm, and they've got a listing of some of the concerts that have taken place at Bramlage. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 10 listed.
We've been in Bramlage.
We're ones I saw in Bramlage.
Wow.
I'm like, okay.
Man.
Well, and you could say 6 of 11 because Garth was twice.
Wow. Snyder would send somebody to the concerts and be like, hey, if you hear any songs that sound like they would be inspirational and people at the stadium would like to hear it. Write
Man,
it down.
Listen.
Thank goodness he didn't do that when Dave Matthews Band was here.
I couldn't have no DMA.
What was the best concert you went to at Bramlage? Like, what was... Because, I mean, there were some...
I'm going to be partial to Garth Brooks. but Van Hagar would probably be the one right behind that. Absolutely. But Def Leppard is in that mix.
That is Def rad,
Leppard
dude.
Played at Bramlage.
Def
huh?
Leppard, AC/DC, Van Hagar, Night Ranger.
And now who's the last to play at Bramlage? A the Jonas Harlem- Brother?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, right. or T-Pain. T-Pain was just recently there.
Yeah, that's wow. cool. Who I saw the Harlem Globetrotters there once.
Who well, get to come to Bramlage? That's like a classic rock band.
And see, part of what is was played out is that you now have T-Mobile in Kansas City and you have interest in Wichita, and so they don't have to get off the interstate.
Well, yeah. I guess the biggest complaint is, yeah, the interstate. It doesn't run through Manhattan.
You know who would come? I guarantee it. Bret Michaels would come. And he ain't half bad. See, I mean, I don't like Poison, but he's not bad.
But could he fill up Bramlage?
No.
Dave Matthews didn't fill up Bramlage. They went one.
Well,
they went one, basically cut it in half.
If
and had Big Head Todd and the Monsters.
If Kansas Star Casino him. Can bring Gin Blossoms and cut their arena down to a fourth, I mean, you could bring in Bret Michaels and cut it down to half.
You know, Bret Michaels, Journey, and Def Lep, I'm there.
Oh,
that would be.
I'm there.
Boy.
I've actually seen that concert in Lincoln. It was in Lincoln.
Okay.
It was in Lincoln. And the place was packed.
I was trying to properly explain what that show would be like.
It's
a lot of women.
A ton. If you're a single guy, that's where you need to head, that direction.
If you're a single guy in your 40s,
you need to
go. You need to head in that direction. I've been trying to get Wyatt Thompson. George Strait's going to be in Lincoln in April. I'm being like, hey, dog. That's his guy.
Those tickets like, are unreal, though.
I meant to ask him if he bought tickets yet. I was like, I don't know if he'd go
he
out.
He doesn't have the stroke to get the tickets in there? Come on, man.
He's a work guy first, you know?
Yeah,
I was like, I'll buy him for you. Just pay me back later. Mitch Palm for the Marquette game is up next.